It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. This is The Dictionary, and this is Spencer, your host, wearing a shirt that I really probably should retire. The collar is just all sorts of messed up. This is one of the oldest shirts I have in current rotation. So I think it's about time to go into storage, and maybe I'll frame it someday. That's what I want to do with my old shirts. Hey, let's talk about the words. The first word is gamma ray. Two words, noun from 1903. This is a photon emitted spontaneously by a radioactive substance. Also, a photon of higher energy than that of an X-ray. So X-rays and gamma rays and all these other rays, they're energy. They've got frequencies. So a gamma ray has a higher energy than an X-ray. And I don't know, what are other types of rays? Ray Bradbury, Ray Bulger, Ray... There's another one. The gamma rays, when radioactive stuff happens, that means that there's little like atoms that are flying off of a thing and off of a molecule. And a gamma ray is one of those photons that's coming off the thing. I'm getting bombarded with gamma rays. Whoa. I don't know enough about this stuff. Let's see. Got to make a sound effect. I'm going to go. The next word is gammer. G-A-M-M-E-R. This is a noun from 1575. This is archaic. And it is an old woman. Compared to gaffer, do you remember talking about that? My old gaffer is still putzing around trying to figure out what to do with his life after he's retired. An old man is a gaffer, an old woman is a gammer. I think that the F and the M are clearly connected to grandfather, grandmother, grandma, grandpa. There's no F in grandpa. Maybe should we say grandpa? Grandpa. Hello, grandpa. No, but a gammer is an old woman. Could be your mom. Could be your grandmother. Could be just some old lady walking down the street that you help to cross the street because she's so slow. This is an alternative of godmother. Gammer is an alternative of godmother. Next we have gammon, G-A-M-M-O-N. This is the first form. It's a noun from the 15th century. Number one is chiefly British. The synonym is the number two definition for the word ham. Well, I believe this is related maybe to another language. We'll look at the etymology in a bit. But so ham in Britain is gammon, G-A-M-H-A-M, ham on whole wheat, all right. Number two is also chiefly British, 2A is a side of bacon, is a gammon. Well, ham is from a pig, and bacon is from a pig. Ham is not bacon, but they're both pork. So clearly there's some sort of pig connection with gammon. And number 2B is the lower end of a side of bacon. The lower end of a side of bacon, well, I'm sorry, but I just don't know my meat cuts that well, because I'm not a butcher and I'm also vegan. Bacon has different definitions depending on what part of the world you're in. There's Canadian bacon, which in America is basically ham. It seems like in Britain, in England, maybe their term for bacon also maybe is a little bit more related to ham than what we think of as bacon here in America. I don't know. I'm a little confused. British people, tell me all about what you think about ham and bacon, and specifically gammon. So, what does the etymology have to say? This is from the Anglo-French gambon, which means ham. From gamba, or with a J, how Anglo-French, jamba. That means leg. Oh, so we're connecting back to gams. Your gams are your legs. And in Anglo-French, G-A-M-B-E is leg. And also from the lower Latin, gamba. And there's more at the word gambit. And I do think gamba was also connected to leg. So this is all about the leg of a pig. Really, that's what it is. And I believe the ham, you know, when you've got the ham on the bone, I think that's literally just like the upper part of the pig's leg, the thigh. And gammon, it's all connected now. You get it? You found it? Fantastic. Wonderful. Everybody's happy. Let's move on to the second form of gammon. I should say everybody's happy except for the pigs. They're not happy. No, no, no. So the second form of gammon is a noun from circa 1734. Number one is archaic, and the synonym is backgammon, the game that I mentioned recently, actually. Backgammon. So did they used to call it just gammon, and then for some reason they were like, we should call it backgammon, and maybe if I knew the rules, if I knew how to play backgammon, then maybe that would make sense to me. But I don't, so it doesn't. Number two, the winning of a backgammon game before the loser removes any men from the board. Okay, again, I don't understand this game, so this is not helpful to me at all. The winning of a backgammon game before the loser removes any men from the board. So if you, so what, you finish the game, somebody won the game, but before somebody cleans up the pieces, that's a gammon? Oh man, this is one of those games that I think I need to learn. This is perhaps an alternative of the Middle English gammon, which means game. So, I mean, is backgammon literally just like back game? Just a game, and they were like, we can't come up with a cleverer name for this, so we're just gonna call this game game. Yeah. The third form of gammon is a transitive verb from 1735, and this is to beat by scoring a gammon. So in backgammon, I guess you score gammons, and then if you win the game, I guess, by scoring gammons, you've won, and you have beaten the other person, and you gammoned. I gammoned you. Look at you, took that gammon so well. You're such a good sportsman person. You got gammoned. The fourth form of gammon is a verb from 1789. Number one, to talk gammon. Now, I'm not sure what that is. To talk gammon, well, we actually have another form, so maybe it's related to that. To talk gammon is to gammon, intransitive verb. Number two, the synonyms are pretend and feign. Oh, pretending, feigning. I'm like, ooh, I'm like a possum that saw itself in a mirror and played dead, which is literally a video I just saw not that long ago. It saw itself in a mirror and it went, blah! And it flipped over and put its leg in the air and opened its mouth and stayed there motionless for a while. So the possum was gammoning death. It was pretending death. Transitive, the synonyms are deceive and fool. Oh boy, I got gammoned when that possum flipped over pretending it was dead. I was totally fooled by the dead possum. You tricked me, possum. For the last time, you won't ever trick me. You won't ever gammon me again, you possum. That's a gammoning possum. Okay, so what is all this stuff about pretending and feigning and deceiving and fooling and talking gammon? Brrrup. We now have the fifth form of gammon. Yes, this is the last form of the word gammon. Had no, I don't have any context with this word whatsoever in my life. Never, not at all, except for the name backgammon. And now we have five forms. Gammon is a noun from 1805. So the verb gammon related to this is from 1789, and a little while later we got the noun. This is talk intended to deceive. So when you are trying to deceive somebody, you are trying to trick them out of some money. They want some money from you. Then they're doing a gammon. They're doing a talk intending to deceive you from money or something. The etymology says this is perhaps from argot, A-R-G-O-T. Now, see, they're flipping their italics and their non-italics. Usually, I think we have this the other way around. Or am I just having a... Yeah, okay. Argot, it says to give someone gammon. Argot must be some other word. So the phrase is to give someone gammon, and that means to distract a victim during a robbery. I'm not sure what argot is here. Is it? It's not capitalized, so it's not a language. Do I need to just look up what is argot? What? I mean, this must be a specific dictionary term, but it'll be in the dictionary, and it's regular old entry probably. Let's see, argot. This is an often more or less secret vocabulary and idiom peculiar to a particular group. Ah, okay, interesting. It's also pronounced argot because it is French. So, this phrase, to give gammon, maybe it's British, that is a peculiar specific phrase to an area, and that's all about distracting a victim during a robbery. So you are talking to them, distracting them, because you're deceiving them, because somebody else is probably coming around to grab the wallet out of their butt pocket. Okay, so that's all about gamming and deceiving and tricking and all that stuff. Okay, but where does the word gammon come from? Why are we using the word gammon in this context? Does it have to do with legs? Does it have to do with a game? Maybe it's like a game to them. Okay, interesting. But maybe if it is this British thing, maybe it's part of that rhyming British slang. So what does it rhyme with? Maybe somebody British should tell me. Next is gammy, G-A-M-M-Y. Adjective from 1870. This is British, and the synonyms are lame and game. Like, oh, I got that gammy leg. I got that gammy gam. Ooh, don't you love it when you got a gammy gam? Ooh, my leg, it's a gammy gam. Yeah, we talked about all that stuff before for the word game a few episodes ago. Now we have the suffix gamus. Could it be gamus? I don't think so. I think it's gamus, maybe. Or, anyway, it's G-A-M-O-U-S. It is, number one, characterized by having or practicing a marriage or marriages, and it would be such a marriage or so many marriages, so it would be a specific type of marriage, is the descriptor in the first part before the suffix, and then also so many marriages could be multiple marriages, and that's also described by the first part before the suffix. So we have an example, exogamous, E-X-O-G-A-M-O-U-S. And I do think I remember, yes, I remember this from the E's. That's something about your religious or cultural group is saying that you have to marry, like, outside of your group. Exo is outside of, and so exogamous. And then the opposite of that would be endogamous. I think you have to marry somebody within your group. Well, which might have issues. Number two, the synonym is the suffix gamic, which I think we just had in the previous episode. Yes, that was all about reproductive organs. And so this example is heterogamous. So that would be different types of reproductive organs. Heterogamous? Heterogamous. Something like that. So what does the etymology have to say? It's all about the word marriage. It's from the Greek gamos, which is marriage, and that's pretty much it. Gamine, which means to marry. So, literally, a marriage, a wedding, so many marriages, such marriages, and then also marry, like, the reproductive organs get married together to create a new thing. So that's also what that's all about. Next is gamut, G-A-M-U-T. Noun from the 15th century. Number one, the whole series of recognized musical notes. All of the musical notes in the world, that is the gamut of musical notes. I don't think I've ever heard this term used to describe musical notes. Number two is an entire range or series, as in, ran the gamut from praise to contempt. That was a lot. You went the whole series, praise to contempt. That was quite an evolution you made there when you were praising somebody, and then you were like, nah, I don't like them. I'm feeling contempt. Nah. For more synonym information, see the word range. It's a whole range of things, a range of notes, a range of feelings, a range of emotions. I'm going through a range of stuff. Range. I'm going to sing the gamut of musical notes. That wasn't irritating at all. So, where does this word come from? It's from Middle Latin gamma, which is the lowest note of a medieval scale. Also from Lower Latin, the third letter of the Greek alphabet, that's gamma plus ut, which means ut. Literally, that's what it says. Ut means ut. What does that mean? Do we have to wait until the U's to learn about ut? Gamut. So, but why is gamma the lowest note of a medieval scale? So was this before we had like do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do? And then the lowest note at the time in the medieval scale was not do, it was gamma. I need to look this up. Gamma, lowest note. We're just going to look that up. The lowest note called gamma was the note G, an octave and a half below middle C in the medieval musical system. This note, combined with the first syllable ut from Guido of Arezzo's solfège system, was originally called gamma ut. Over time, the term evolved into gamut, which came to mean the entire range of a musical system. So then we just ended up using just like run the gamut of all of the things. So gamma must have stood for the letter G, the note G, and that's why it was gamma. But the confusing thing is that they used the third letter of the Greek alphabet. Why wouldn't you have used the first letter and done alpha and then made A the first lowest note? And also, it's A, which is the beginning of the alphabet. It would have made more sense, but no. They said, no, we're going to do it differently. All right. Next is gamey. Gamey. It's not gammy. It's gamey. G-A-M-Y or G-A-M-E-Y. It is an adjective from 1844. Number one, the synonyms are brave and plucky. This is used especially of animals. Now, I believe that there are other contexts that this word is used with animals, but this one I am less familiar with. Brave and plucky. Ooh, look at that gamey animal. It's coming right up to me. I just saw a video. Thank you, social media. I just saw a video of a woman who was, I think it said she was a Twitch streamer, and she was very afraid of some deer that were near her, so she was hiding. I mean, who knows if this stuff was true or faked and, like, whatever. But this part seemed real. She was hiding from these deer, and so she's filming herself behind a box, and then all of a sudden, this gamey deer shows up right over her shoulder, and she turns and she freaks out, and then the video stopped, and that was very sad. I wanted to see what happened after that. But that was a gamey animal, a gamey deer, because it was so brave and plucky. And of course, Plucky Duck from Tiny Toons would also be considered gamey. But also, 2A, having the flavor of game, especially having the flavor of game near tainting. Like, so game as in animals that are being hunted for. Oh, it tastes, this tastes like an animal that I hunted. It tastes like a squirrel. But the flavor of game near tainting, like, oh, it's like not so good anymore. Maybe it's gone bad. Maybe you shouldn't eat that. Because then we have 2B, the synonym is smelly. Yeah, when it's going bad, maybe it's got a little smelly. Ooh, check out Spencer. He's kind of gamey right now. Wowee. 3A, the synonyms are sordid and scandalous. As in the example, gave us all the gamey details. Ooh, please, give us the tea. Give us all of the gossip that we need. The sordid and scandalous details. How did this become gamey? Maybe the etymology will have something to say about that. I mean, are they the smelly details? Are they like, ooh, maybe it's like a little rotten. Maybe it's a little rotten what we're doing talking about the gossip. 3B, the synonyms are corrupt and disreputable. As in the example, a gamey character. Corrupt, disreputable, it's like, it's all on the fringe. Like, the sordid, scandalous details are on the fringe of, like, maybe what's proper, and then corrupt, disreputable. The Spencer has a gamey character, because he's smelling gamey. 3C, sexually suggestive. The synonym is racy. The example is gamey witticisms. So, these are very clever, witty things that you're saying that are kind of racy, kind of sexually suggestive, kind of innuendos. So, yeah, number 3 seems like it's all about the stuff on the fringe, the maybe stuff that you're not supposed to do or talk about, or I don't know. I can't think of a better way to describe that. Gamely is an adverb, and gaminess is a noun. So what does the etymology have to say? Oh, look, there is none. What are you doing to me, dictionary? I mean, I get the gamey thing about the animals because of game, and they're hunting game, and we call them game. But how did we get into sordid and scandalous and corrupt and disreputable and racy and all those things? How did gamey become that? I don't really think I've heard it used that way so much. Next, we have gamey again. This is a suffix, G-A-M-Y. It is number 1, marriage. As in the example, exogamy. So this, of course, is related to gamous, that suffix. Number 2, this is union for propagation of reproduction. And the example is allogamy or allogamy. It's probably the first one. A-L-L-O-G-A-M-Y. Union for propagation or reproduction. So, similar to marriage, think people, things, whatever, are coming together to propagate, to make more of the same species that they are. I don't remember what allogamy means, though. Number 3, this is possession of reproductive organs or a mode of fertilization. And that would be possession of such reproductive organs, a specific type, or such a mode of fertilization. As in the example, oh, this is the one that we had in the previous episode, cleistogamy. So what did we have? It was a very similar example with the gamous. Where's that suffix now? I can't find it. Or gamic, that's what it was. Cleistogamic is having such reproductive organs. And then gamy is it's all about fertilization. So I think this cleistogamy or cleistogamic is all about plants, probably, and fertilizing and making more plants. Making more plants. Making more plants with cleistogamy. Same etymology as the gamous prefix, which is all from the Greek, which means marry and marriage. That was the end of the GAM section. Now we're going to go to G-A-N. The first word is gan. It's a past, the past form of gin. Gin. Or is it gin? What's the verb gin? Is it, I'm not sure about that one. Brrrrup. Next we have ganache. G-A-N-A-C-H-E. Noun from 1977. This is a sweet, creamy chocolate mixture used especially as a filling or frosting. You could put a ganache on top. You can put a ganache in the middle. You can have a donut filled with ganache. And that's what I want right now. Where can I get one of them ganaches? So, a sweet cream. I mean, come on. This is heaven right there. A ganache. This is French. It literally means jowl. Like your mouth and chin and cheeks. That your jowl is ganache. Is it because you drool through your jowls when you think of a ganache, maybe? It's also from the Italian ganachia and from the Greek gnathos, G-N-A-T-H-O-S, gnathos, which means jaw. And there's more at gnathos, which is a suffix with a G. So with jaw and jowl, I'm very confused at why ganache, this creamy chocolate thing, came from that. Oh boy, that's gonna hurt my brain for a while. Next is gancyclovir. Gancyclovir. G-A-N-C-I-C-L-O-V-I-R. Noun from 1986. It is an antiviral drug, C9, H13, N504, related to acyclovir and used especially to treat cytomegalovirus retinitis and immunocompromised individuals. So if you have an immune system that's not so great, then maybe you need some gancyclovir to help you. This is from the G and the A-N from guanosine or guanosine and ciclovir and an alternative of cyclovir, but yeah, it's all scientific-y medical stuff. So that is gancyclovir. Brrrup. Next is ganda or ganda, capital G-A-N-D-A. It is a noun from 1934. Number one, a member of a Bantu-speaking people of Uganda. So, Uganda, you take off the U, and you got Ganda, which is a member of the people. A member of the people? I guess that would make sense. Number two, the synonym is Luganda. I'm guessing that's also in Uganda. The Ganda people are in Uganda. And I did not know that because I don't know all the different types of people in Africa. Brrrup. Next is gander. First form. Noun from before the 12th century. Number one. An adult male goose is a gander. Because what's that phrase? The goose and the gander are doing some stuff. They got married. Number two. The synonym is simpleton. So when you call somebody a gander and you're saying that they're a simpleton, are you saying that their brain is kind of simple and they're not very smart and maybe they're just as smart as a goose? That reminds me of the time that I was called a gander. This is from the Old English gandra, which is akin to the Old English goose, which means goose. So it's just a goose. That's what it is, a gander. But we have another form. Brrrup. The second form of gander is a noun from circa 1914. The synonyms are look and glance, as in take a gander. Ooh, take a gander over there. Look, what's over there? Ooh, I am gandering. I'm taking a gander at a gander. So this is probably from the first form of gander, which is the male goose. which is from the outstretched neck of a person craning to look at something. So they're like, oh, when you're craning your neck to look at a thing over there, oh, what's over there? I see a thing. I got to crane my neck to look over way yonder. They're like, you look like a goose, so I'm going to call you a gander, because a male goose is a gander. Why couldn't we call it just goose? What are you goosing at over there? All right, that's enough of that. Now we got to go on to... Broop. We have Gandhi Dancer. Two words. Noun from 1915. Number one, a laborer in a railroad section gang. A Gandhi Dancer is somebody working on a railroad, making the railroad. Number two is an itinerant or seasonal laborer. So this is somebody who is just working. They are probably, possibly not legal. They are a railroad section gang. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they're taking people from prison to do these things. Itinerant has its whole meanings itself. This is a Gandhi Dancer. This is very old. I mean, it's 100 years old, not that old. But the thing is that the origin is unknown. There's no etymology. Because why? Because I would love for somebody to make up, what does Gandhi Dancer mean in this context? Somebody who's working on a thing, they're dancing on the Gandhis. I don't know what a Gandhi is, because Gandhi's not in the dictionary. This makes me very sad that we don't have etymology for Gandhi Dancer. It seems like we should. Brrrup. Next is... Now, it looks like you pronounce it Ganef. It is spelled three different ways, G-A-N-E-F, or G-O-N-I-F, or G-O-N-I-F-F, Ganef. Noun from circa 1839. This is slang, and the synonyms are thief and rascal. Oh, that gander is such a Ganef because that goose just stole my bread. This is a Yiddish word from the Hebrew ganab, which means thief. That's all it is. It just literally is what it is. It says what it is. It's the word is what it is. It's a thief. So maybe the ganef is, they're doing some gammon. They're gammoning you because they're trying to trick you and deceive you out of your money and rob you. The ganef, ganefs be gammoning. All right, we have one more word for this episode. Brrrup. It is ganelon. Now, you don't really say the N so much. Ganelon. Maybe it's French. It is. Capital G-A-N-E-L-O-N. Noun from circa 1533. This is the traitor, T-R-A-I-T-O-R, like the person who's a traitor against their country. The traitor in the Charlemagne romances who is responsible for the death of Roland. Oh, Roland, I'm so sorry that Ganelon murdered you? Responsible for your death. I don't know anything about these stories, or is it real? It says Charlemagne romances. Are these true stories, or are these fiction stories? I don't know. I think Charlemagne was real. Roland was an organ, a keyboard. Anyway, that's Ganelon. Now I must pick a word of the episode. Today we had gamma ray. Gammer. Gammon. 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 So many gammons. Gammy. Gammus. Gamut. Gamey. Gammy. Gan. Ganache. Gansai. Gansiclavier. Ganda. Gander. Gander. Gandhi Dancer. Ganef. And Ganelon. It's got to be between Gandhi Dancer, because that's a fun phrase to say, and also ganache. I think maybe I just need to pick ganache. I want some ganache. I'm gonna take some ganache. I'm gonna steal the ganache, and then I'll be a ganef, and I'm gonna use some gammon to steal the ganache. Oh my god, that was amazing. How does he do it? How does he do it? All right, let's tell you about another movie. Because that's why you're here. This is a movie. This was, I saw this on a plane, going on a work trip, and it is called I Didn't See You There. This is a documentary made by a person in a wheelchair. I don't remember his name. And it's really just about how he views the world. How does he see the world? There's voiceover and some very kind of meditative, artistic shots filmed from his wheelchair. And it's just another point of view, another perspective. So I think it's worth seeing because it's not something that most of us get to experience in any way, shape, or form. So I Didn't See You There, documentary about this disabled person and sort of their own journey. And they've made some other documentaries, too, and stuff. Which I have not seen. Anyway, that's going to be it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking it out. Join the Patreon for $1 a month. Buy some merchandise. Email me at dictionarypod@gmail.com. Call the Google Voice number and leave a message. 917-727-5757. I think that's the number. Follow me on social media and do all of those things, please. And thank you. It would make me happy. And so I don't have to be a gonif and steal your ganache. But if you put the ganache on the windowsill, then you're just asking for it. All right. This has been Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.